This is Fantasy Lowdown with Patriots Today's Brian Lowe.
And off Adrian Peterson. And there he goes! Inside the 20! Touchdown!
Who to start and who to sit? Who's a sleeper and who's a bust? Fantasy Lowdown, a weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Touchdown! Randy Moss! Another spectacular catch by this incredible football player.
And from all around the NFL.
Tomlinson finds a hole and he's on his way again. This is four touchdowns.
Ask your fantasy questions. Hear from the experts.
We have our own in-house fantasy football geek, I mean guru, right here, Brian Logue.
Let us be your weekly cheat sheet.
Make sure you tell your friends you heard it on
Fantasy Lowdown with Brian Logue.
Welcome to the first ever edition of the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. I'm very excited to kick this show off. My name is Brian Logue. And I've been around a little bit helping out John Rook here and there on Patriots.com Radio. Maybe, hopefully, I'd love to know that you've seen me on Patriots Today, our daily Patriots show here on Patriots.com. If you know about that show because of Christina Acker, I'm not offended. That's fine. Christina and I Christina and I are the two quote unquote personalities on that show. And, hey, maybe I'll have Christina here, every now and then. Send in your emails if you want to see her or hear from her as well. But it's time to, focus on the fantasy football aspect of football. I've been covering the Patriots for a handful of years. I've been playing fantasy football for a lot longer. I thoroughly enjoy fantasy football, as I hope many of you do as well. Needless to say, it's a booming industry, and I certainly feel like there's a need and a market for some good old-fashioned fantasy football talk right here with you, with Patriots Nation. This show is going to be for you. I want to hear from you. I want you to tell me what your fantasy questions are for this week. I want you to vent if you need to. We'll certainly get into the Tom Brady situation. And if you're a Patriots fan and you also happen to have Tom Brady on your team, this is a great place for you to vent. Feel free to have this be your outlet. If you just have a simple question, we already have an email with some simple questions about who to start or who to sit this week. And I'm here to help you out. We're going to have some great guests, including one coming up in just a bit, Greg Rosenthal from RotoWorld.com, which is a great fantasy site, not just fantasy football. He's the managing editor of that site, and we're going to hear from him in just a little bit and talk about some of the top fantasy storylines. But like I said, we want to hear from you. Webradio at Patriots.com is the easiest and quickest way to get in touch. Send in your email. Send in your thoughts. Send in your comments. Send in your questions. I'd be happy to talk to you about them if you want to call in, 508-543-7482. You can also, if you check out our show, Patriots Today, on Thursdays, this kind of day, I also have a fantasy lowdown update on that show, a player to sit, a player to start, and a sleeper each week. So without further ado, I think we're just going to get right into some of the topics of note in fantasy football right now. And a guy that, if you've been listening to Patriots.com Radio for the last few minutes, you just heard from the gentleman who might be the most talked about player in the NFL when it comes to fantasy football this week. Patriots starting quarterback Matt Cassel. Very, very, very strange to say those words consecutively. Patriots starting quarterback Matt Cassel. It's been 7 years, almost exactly, since there was someone other than Tom Brady as quarterback of the Patriots. And we all know what happened.
Pro quarterback Matt Cassel.
Wow. He is a pro quarterback. I'm not sure when he recorded that. He's been a pro quarterback for 4 years, but he might be the least known. He and Jim Sorgi are probably the least known backup quarterbacks in the entire NFL, but that has all changed this week. And if you did just hear from Matt Cassel, and I was in the Patriots locker room earlier today as he addressed the media for the first time officially as the starting quarterback, and he's a very confident guy, and he certainly has a lot of weapons around him. So from a fantasy perspective, a great question this week is, what kind of value does Matt Cassel have as a fantasy football quarterback? Let's look at some of the pros and cons. The pros are pretty obvious. Look up and down the Patriots roster on offense. In my opinion, anyone who's catching passes or anyone who's throwing passes to Randy Moss probably deserves a spot on a fantasy football team somewhere. Is he going to throw 23 touchdown passes to Randy Moss? That might be a stretch. That's what Tom Brady did last year. That might be a stretch. But when Randy Moss is out there and he's healthy, Wes Welker is healthy, and when the Patriots have the five-headed monster at running back that they have, not to mention a healthy Benjamin Watson, if he gets out there, I think Matt Cassel can do a little bit of damage in the world of fantasy football. The question is, how much are the Patriots going to rely on the pass this year? Will they rely on the pass as much as they did last year? I don't think they will quite as much, but I still think that Matt Cassel, as long as he can keep those interceptions down, is going to have a big year and is going to have some big weeks. Maybe not this week. I don't know if it's going to be immediate, but I think Matt Cassel is going to play a role. Another topic related to Matt Cassel, which we'll also get into with Greg Rosenthal, is the fact that he's just one of four quarterbacks, four teams in the NFL who, after week one, have new quarterbacks because of injury. Two of them were here at Gillette Stadium in that game. Tom Brady goes down, Matt Cassel steps in. Brody Croyle goes down, and Damon Heward steps in. Certainly some fantasy implications there. How about in Tennessee? Vince Young. If you have Vince Young, and you thought he'd be a good quarterback to have and maybe help you out in the running department as well, not so much. And injuries might be the least of his problems. We're not going to get into that here, but Kerry Collins will be stepping in for him. And then in Tampa Bay, another interesting situation, Jeff Garcia is hurt, and Brian Greasy is stepping in. So if you're wondering who among those four are the best waiver pickups, that's an interesting question, and we can rank them a little bit between Matt Cassel, Damon Heward, Brian Greasy, and Kerry Collins. To me, a lot of it comes down to who are their weapons, and obviously Matt Cassel has the best weapons. But how about Brian Greasy, the Tampa Bay offense? What do you think of the Tampa Bay offense? Brian Greasy had a pretty big year. His last big year, in fact, was with Tampa Bay, with John Gruden back in 2004. He's a real interesting guy, and in my opinion, is the best of the four, at least immediately in terms of fantasy. We do have a question already. The very first, actually, I'm going to go with this email first, even though this email is the second we've gotten, but it's pertinent immediately. Who should I start, Matt Ryan or Matt Cassel? That's from Sam. Sam from Brighton. Well, we're talking about two guys named Matt. One of them is a rookie. One of them might as well be a rookie with Matt Cassel. He hasn't started a game since high school, as we've talked about. What do you make of Matt Ryan? Matt Ryan, in his first game on Sunday with Atlanta, his very first pass is a 62-yard touchdown. At that pace, he would break every single NFL record, every single fantasy record. He obviously didn't keep up that pace. What's interesting is that pass went to Michael Jenkins. That was his only catch of the day, Michael Jenkins, a 62-yard touchdown. With Matt Ryan, I'd love to have Matt Ryan on my team, and I think certainly if it's a keeper league, I'd love to have him on my team. I don't know if Matt Ryan is going to get the job done every week. I would expect some interceptions, more interceptions than he had in week one. As far as Matt Cassel, though, I think there's a better chance of a long-range, a healthy outlook for 2008 from a fantasy perspective. This week, if I just get my papers in front of me and see who Atlanta is playing this week, with the Patriots against with Cassel against the Jets, I think it could be a struggle. As far as Matt Ryan is concerned with Atlanta, I don't know if I want to start him too much this week. But I appreciate the email there, Sam. We're going to go to another email here. This is from Strippers, and he's got a handful of questions on who to start, who to sit. Sammy Morris versus the Jets or Jonathan Stewart versus Chicago? Jonathan Stewart, a rookie running back. Another topic I want to get to later today is rookie running backs, especially the ones who aren't the number one starters on their teams. Well, how much value do they have? Sammy Morris versus the Jets, Jonathan Stewart versus Chicago. I'm going to go with Sammy Morris. I think Sammy Morris is part of an unpredictable backfield with the Patriots as far as who's going to get the most touches. But I do think there's a better opportunity for Sammy Morris to score touchdowns than for Jonathan Stewart to score touchdowns. And I think the disparity, I think we're going to see the disparity in touches between D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart will be greater than the one between Lawrence Maroney and Sammy Morris. Another interesting one, still on the Patriots side of things, from Strippers, New England defense versus the Jets, or the Arizona defense versus Miami? And this is a great question because the Patriots defense is, I'm still high enough on the Patriots defense that if I have them, I'm starting them most weeks, including this week. I think Brett Favre might put up some decent numbers. I also think he's going to throw a few picks. And if interceptions are big in your league, I would go with New England defense over Arizona defense. We do have a few more questions from Strippers, and we're just going to spread them out a little bit and get back to him in a bit. We've touched on a few topics already today, just giving a quick rundown. Over the next 45 minutes or so, we're still going to talk more Matt Cassel and quarterbacks who have gone down with injuries. Who do you which backups do you pick up? Which do you not? I definitely want to get into the rookie running backs. Which rookie running backs of those who are playing a bit already and might be co-running backs on their teams, which ones have the most value? Coming up in just a few minutes, we have Greg Rosenthal from RotoWorld.com. He's going to provide some great analysis and insight, as RotoWorld.com does every week, some projections for this coming week, and we'll talk to him about some of those topics. We will be back on the Fantasy Lowdown in just a few minutes.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Hey, this is Hall of Famer John Hanna here. Let me tell you about the game with the greats. Have you ever wondered what former football players talk about when we're watching a game? Well, now you can find out for yourself at the Game with the Greats on October 5th at Gillette Stadium. Watch the Patriots take on the 49ers in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse, along with me and a bunch of other Patriot alumni. Guys like newly inducted Hall of Famer Andre Tippett and Patriots Hall of Famers Ben Coates, Stanley Morgan, Steve Nelson, and Steve Grogan will be there. Tickets are limited because they're only $40. Visit the Patriots.com homepage and click on Alumni for more information. We're all going to be at the Game with the Greats. Where will you be?
Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, Off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and a long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriots-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
Taylor on the turn, takes a touch, and buries it! 1-0 Revs! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet. The Revs have the lead. Taylor Twellman just made 30,000 plus here at Gillette Stadium. Very happy.
2008 New England Revolution gear is here at the Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Located right next to Gillette Stadium, the Revolution Pro Shop has all of the official Revolution merchandise you'll ever need. Get the new 2008 home and away jerseys with name and number of your favorite player, or have one customized with your own name and number. Jackets, sweatshirts, hats, tees, and much more. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open 7 days a week and always available online at www.revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop.
Pick it up slow, roll it all around, look it out like a backroll.
And welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. My name is Brian Lowe here on the first ever edition of the Fantasy Lowdown. And we are enjoying this recap of the first week of the NFL season and hence the fantasy season, and looking forward to week number two of the fantasy season. And joining us now from RotoWorld.com, the managing editor of RotoWorld.com, Greg Rosenthal. Greg, thank you very much for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Good to be on the first show. I like it.
Well, we appreciate having you on, and certainly it was an eventful first week in the world of fantasy football, and as you might imagine, around here in New England, a lot of storylines from that first game. None, as far as fantasy goes, that people are taking as being too positive, and we're talking about the quarterback situation. I guess let's get right into that. What do you make of this situation, this quarterback situation? We see in your Pancake Blocks blog that you do have Matt Cassel as the number one quarterback available in most leagues. What do you think of Matt Cassel as a fantasy football quarterback?
Well, I'll tell you, I grew up in western Massachusetts, so it wasn't an enjoyable Sunday for me either.
They did get the win, though.
Yes. But, you know, Cassel, I think, you know, again, that's talking about available quarterbacks. So
right.
I was comparing to guys like J.T. O'Sullivan in San Francisco, Trent Edwards in Buffalo. And to me, you look at the weapons that the Patriots have and you look at what they are able to do with other players coming into their system and how they're able to maximize their talents. And I just think Cassel will do enough, especially once he gets used to the lineup, that'll be a decent backup fantasy quarterback. I don't think he's going to be a top 12, 15 type of guy, but I think, you know, once they get going, they have a lot of weapons, they have an offensive line, and they have a lot of things that other quarterbacks that are available don't have.
Well, and that's just the thing. What kind of impact will he have, or will this situation also have, on the other fantasy performers on the Patriots? Is it safe? Is it easy? Is it too easy to say that anyone who's throwing the ball to Randy Moss and Wes Welker is going to have a huge year?
I think that's too easy to say. It depends how you define huge year. I'm thinking more, like I said, about a guy maybe that you'd slot in if you're looking for the rest of the year at quarterback between somewhere like 16 and 20. So that's around guys like Jason Campbell, Philip Rivers, if you're lucky, something like that, Jake DeLome, not the top-tier guys. I don't think it's necessarily easy for him, but I do think they'll be able to play to his strength, and you saw it on Sunday. He had a pretty solid three quarters of football, and they played conservatively. I think once he gets a little more comfortable, they'll be more aggressive.
And we see in your goal line stand, great rankings you guys have every week, and already out, I think it was today, your week two quarterbacks. You have Matt Cassel right there at number 20, which, hey, his first start in 9 years, first start since high school, that's not bad to jump right in, I guess, ranked in the top 20, if that's how it turns out, for this upcoming game. Now, as we mentioned early in the show, he is just one of four quarterbacks who's filling in for injured guys in the league. We're talking about Damon Hewitt, Kerry Collins, and Brian Greasy. I happen to think that Brian Greasy is a pretty interesting guy and maybe one of the best among those four just because you know, this, he's had good seasons with Tampa Bay before. He's a veteran guy. What do you make of these other these four quarterbacks who are stepping in for injured guys unexpectedly?
Well, you mentioned those waiver rankings they had, and that was while we still thought Jeff Garcia was healthy. If I could go
right
back and rewrite them now, I would put Brian Greasy ahead of Matt Cassel, and like you said, he's familiar with that system. And I remember with John Gruden, Greasy was a nice little fantasy quarterback, almost had about 3,500 yards that year. It's really just a cerebral system, and that's what Greasy is good at, the mental game. And I think his receivers there are okay. They're just as good, if not better, than they were last time around. And it sounds like Jeff Garcia is on the trading block and might not be getting that job back anytime soon.
Yeah, saw that news today, and certainly some interesting stuff going on down there in Tampa with Gruden and Greasy. Damon Hewitt got a lot of playing time last year, and I guess a mixed bag is what you could say. What do you make of him and some of the receivers and some of the weapons that they have? Dwayne Bowe, how does it affect Dwayne Bowe? How does it affect Tony Gonzalez, this switch from Croyle to Hewitt?
Stewart, to me, isn't a fantasy option on his own, but he helps Bo and he helps Tony Gonzalez a lot. And Stewart played very well 2 years ago. That was a different offense, really. But even in the lineup when he was there last year, he was a lot better than Brody Croyle. You saw, especially with Dwayne Bo, his numbers were a lot better when Damon Stewart was under center. So I think that helps Bo out. The biggest problem he had, I thought, with Brody Croyle. Now, last week he had some drops, too, which isn't good. But if he had caught some of those passes, it would have been a huge game against the Patriots.
Now, keeping with the quarterbacks but switching gears just a bit, we saw some really big-time performances this past weekend from guys like Jay Cutler, guys like Donovan McNabb, Ben Roethlisberger. One that jumped out at me on the opposite side, Carson Palmer. What can we say about this Cincinnati offense from a fantasy perspective? And you know, are things going to be as bad as they seem to be with Carson Palmer and some of the other weapons they have?
Well, a lot of times after week one, the players aren't as good as they looked, or they're not as bad. And I think
right.
that's the case here. I think the Ravens are going to make a lot of quarterbacks look bad. People forget the talent they have in their front seven. Now, with that said, it looks like they have some warming up to do. They're playing the Titans this week, which is maybe the next best defense in the NFL. I think those are two of the top teams. So it's going to be tough this week. I think over time they're going to bounce back. But they have some proving to do for me to believe he's a top five quarterback. He's still, you know, I don't care how bad he did last week, I still believe he's a top 10 quarterback without a doubt.
So the lesson, of course, is let's not get too carried away after week one, good or bad.
Well, yeah, that's, you know, if anyone played the Ravens, I think they were going to, you know, have a big game, especially at home, and maybe make that quarterback look bad. I'm a little worried about the miscommunication. I happened to watch that game. I was watching that and the Patriots at the same time, those two. And they weren't on the same page. And T.J. Houshmandzadeh, Chad Johnson, Carson Palmer, these guys didn't take any snaps during the preseason together. You hope that kind of works itself out. It certainly has over the last few years. These guys have been among the most consistent fantasy options, really, at any position.
Okay, we're talking to Greg Rosenthal, the managing editor of RotoWorld.com, and breaking down a little bit of the quarterback situations that we've seen. So many storylines through week one. I want to switch gears just a bit to the running backs. And I've been intrigued all throughout the offseason as I did my own fantasy drafts and certainly in week one, and seeing how some of these rookie running backs, what kind of touches they're getting, what kind of fantasy value they have, because it seems like this is going to be a pretty solid group of rookie running backs in the long term. But the question is, right now, most of them are at best splitting carries, maybe with the exception of Matt Forte, and we see a lot of guys that it's just hard to assess their value, talking about Rashard Mendenhall, Jonathan Stewart, guys like that. Among this class, Felix Jones is another one. Among this class of rookie running back, who do you think, through just the small sample that we have, week one, is going to have the best, most fantasy value as we move along here in 2008?
Ooh, that's a tough question.
Now, and we've already gotten
That's what I'm here for. I'm going to go with Matt Forte because, like you said, he's not splitting carries. But Chris Johnson is right behind him.
Yep.
And Darren McFadden is right next to Chris Johnson. I think this is a bumper crop of rookies. Like you said, fantasy-wise, some of them are splitting carries. Jonathan Stewart would be the next guy on my list. And all those are pretty tightly bunched together. I don't think there's a huge gap. Some of the bigger names, those first-round picks, Stewart, Felix Jones,
yep.
Mendenhall, are the ones that aren't getting quite as many touches, where Kevin Smith, Matt Forte are some of the guys who are really emerging. And Ray Rice is a guy, another one, who's probably going to have a lot more carries than his owners expected. Willis McGahee will be losing touches.
Right, and obviously a lot of it depends on, you know, if these rookies are considered number two guys, a lot of it depends on who's in front of them. And Ray Rice is a guy that certainly seems intriguing to me, certainly because of the Willis McGahee situation. And I guess a couple years ago, you know, we had the same situation here in New England with Lawrence Maroney and Corey Dillon. And as we've seen here, it still takes a while before a rookie running back, sometimes, depending on the situation, can really make that impact. But Matt Forte certainly had a breakthrough performance in prime time, didn't he?
Yeah, and, you know, he went to Tulane, my alma mater.
Oh, there you
happy
go.
To see that. And it depends, again, on the coaching staff and the players that he's with. So Lovie Smith was not afraid to hand that team over to Matt Forte. I think in Tennessee, Jeff Fisher is not too afraid to hand the majority of touches over to Chris Johnson because they're very high on him. Now, if you go to Carolina, Jonathan Stewart is my favorite running back in this draft long term, and nothing I've seen has shaken me away from that. But John Fox, a little more conservative. It seems like he's going to stick with the veteran D'Angelo Williams, at least for a while. So that hurts him this season.
So if you have Jonathan Stewart and you're in a keeper league, Greg Rosenthal says keep him. Keep him. Definitely keep him.
235 pounds. And when he's in there, I mean, you can't tell the difference practically between him and Williams. He's so quick. He's good in the passing game. I think he's really going to be a player.
And certainly, and you mentioned Chris Johnson, who absolutely is another one. And I think a lot of people, when the Titans drafted Chris Johnson, everyone's saying, wait a minute, they have so many more needs than running back. But as we've seen, he had an unbelievable preseason, pretty solid week one, and it certainly seems like he and Lendale White, he'll get his touches, even if Lendale White does as well.
Someone that really has impressed me in terms of I thought he'd be a third down back. He's definitely more than that.
Now, a couple of other specific situations that I think are just getting a little out of hand. How about the Seattle wide receiver situation? If you're a Seattle wide receiver, you're probably not healthy. And, you know, I was talking with someone else in my fantasy league about a guy, Logan Payne. He's a guy who could be one of their top targets this week. Can you tell us a little bit about who would be the best options in the Seattle wide receiver situation right now?
Logan Deep. I love it. You are definitely the first guy that's ever brought up Logan Payne to me. And I've been following the Seattle receiver group the whole summer because they're usually a very good source of fantasy value if you go back throughout Mike Holmgren's reign there. This week, I think it's going to be Logan Payne and Courtney Taylor. Taylor had 9 targets last week. He only caught 2 of them, did not impress, but I think he's going to be the starter at flanker again. So those are the two guys you want to watch. They're probably worth owning in deep leagues. I actually own Taylor in a number of leagues. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to start him yet, but I want to see what happens, give him another chance. They're definitely in a very good spot.
And what's difficult there, too, is that Matt Hasselbeck seems to have a little bit of a shaky situation with his own injury situation. And so that's definitely something to watch for. And also at wide receiver, how about Philadelphia? DeSean Jackson, to me, seemed like a pretty intriguing sleeper going into last week. And he hit the 100-yard mark, I believe. But is DeSean Jackson, would you say he's almost the equivalent, as you mentioned, Jonathan Stewart from running backs? Would you say he's the equivalent from a fantasy perspective to Stewart?
In terms of the best long-term guy?
Sure,
or
almost both. Hard to say at this point.
That's a great question. I would have said a lot of different names going into the draft or going into the season. For this season, I would take Eddie Royal still over DeSean Jackson, but they're pretty close, and it's amazing these two guys who kind of weren't the biggest names on draft day. I watched that Eagles game on tape, and the catches he made were not easy. He was covered well. He was going deep. And he still made some tough grabs, so that was pretty impressive. Usually rookie receivers take a while to warm up, but in terms of Royal and Jackson, I think they're definitely worth owning really in any league.
Sure. Now, let's talk a little bit about tight ends. Anthony Fasano, he had a big game in his first game, and I had a thought and I had an eye on him a little bit because I just figured, hey, if Bill Parcells is bringing him in to Miami from Dallas, and making a trade for him, I just kind of had a gut feeling that maybe he'd be involved in the offense. Again, it's only 1 week, and as we mentioned earlier, you can only read so much into it. But would you say Anthony Fasano, who's a guy the Patriots fans might have a chance to see up close and personal in just a week and a half, is he a guy that might not just be a 1 week wonder like Alex Smith a couple years ago from Tampa Bay, who had what 2 touchdowns in week one and barely had another one the rest of his season? Is Anthony Fasano the real deal?
Yeah, they split him out in the slot a lot, and you have Chad Pennington, who isn't great at throwing the wide receivers on the outside, and you don't have many good wide receivers, period. So you got to throw it to someone, and Fasano looks like he's going to get plenty of targets. I think he's a borderline fantasy starter, and another guy just like him is Dante Rosario, who I don't think is a fluke either. Tight ends are so easy to find now, it's almost ridiculous in fantasy league. You could almost start 2. That would be a stretch. But there really are about 15, 16, especially when you add these two guys in, that are decent starters. And I think he will be around all year. Maybe not as a superstar, but maybe as like a Heath Miller type.
Sure. Well, I see that you have Rosario 17th in your rankings so far this week and Fasano 21. So if those two guys are that deep, like you said, it's got to be a pretty deep tight end class and with guys like Jason Witten and Kellen Winslow up there at the top. Hey, Greg, why don't you give us a little bit of an idea of what goes into your sort of the grind of an NFL week? You take your Sunday where you're watching all the games, you're charting some of these guys, and over the course of the week, how you develop your ideas, your opinions, and finally come out with rankings like you do at the end of the week?
Well, I'm just trying to find time in the day. Honestly, we do a show here on Sunday morning, so I jump from that, and then I watch the games, and we're updating news all day long. So I'm kind of overseeing that in terms of injuries and post-game recaps. And really, most of my job is staying on top of the news. We do some columns and stuff. And the news, it informs me a lot because I think that's a big advantage people can have if you really stay on top. Dante Rosario is a guy they've been talking about in Carolina for a while, and I had to see with my own eyes, but he's really talented. So that's one thing. And then you just look at the matchups, who's healthy, who's not, how much do you want to overrate week one. I try not to do it too much, and that's why those two tight ends are still pretty low.
Sure.
Staying conservative with them, and they'll move up if they keep performing.
And how did you get first involved in fantasy sports? Were you, just like anyone else, involved in fantasy sports with your buddies and just were able to kind of get a niche, and become the Fantasy Sports Writers Association Football Writer of the Year, as you did last year? How did you develop?
They should be asking for that one back. But I got into it really, I've done it since I was 14 years old, doing a fantasy baseball league was how I originally got into it. And I don't tell this to the writers who ask, how do you get into it? Because I got really lucky. I really just answered a call for writers that they were looking for. It was about 5 years ago, which was a good time to get into fantasy. I happen to be working, not too different from you, in television production, sort of in the background of that sort of business in sports, so not too differently. But really, now the thing you got to do is you got to write. You got to be willing to show that you can work hard and just get published anywhere, whether you're doing it for free or not.
Absolutely. Now, before we let you go, we do have one email, Sam from Brighton, who has one question for you. Which two of these three wide receivers should I keep on my team? I guess he only has two spots. He's got three guys: Wes Welker, Kevin Curtis, and David Patton. David Patton's an interesting guy because of Marcus Colston going down. So Welker, Curtis, and Patton, if you could keep only two of the three, who would they be?
Well, Welker is an easy answer
to
start off. Curtis is supposedly ahead of schedule on his recovery. He's got more upside there, but it sounds like you have some tough roster restrictions. So I would go with David Patton, who can help you over the next 5 weeks or so. To me, David Patton right now is probably a borderline third receiver. I'm going to move him up in the rankings a little bit after Colston's injury. And he's not someone you play every week, but he has more value right now than Curtis.
Sure. Well, Sam from Brighton, thanks you for answering that. And, Sam, thanks for emailing in. All right, Greg, well, we're going to let you go. We very much appreciate you coming and joining us today, our first edition of the Fantasy Lowdown. And, again, you can catch Greg Rosenthal on rotoworld.com. His goal line stand is invaluable, checking out his rankings, and he has a blog as well. So, Greg, we'll talk to you again down the line. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, anytime. Good luck.
All right, thanks a lot. Greg Rosenthal from rotoworld.com, and we'll probably have to send him a prize for being the very first guest on the Fantasy Lowdown. Covered a lot of ground there with Greg.
A signed picture.
Oh, of you, Dan?
Of you.
Well, maybe I think you might be the better picture.
Of Christina.
Oh, now we're getting into a different realm. But we'll definitely have Greg on again down the line. He provided some great insight and some pertinent topics here in New England. But as we know, for fantasy sports, you might be a fan of one team, but you obviously have to follow all 32. So we'll definitely have to have Greg on again. We'll have some other guests and talk about other topics as they come about. We are going to take a quick break. We've got a few other topics that I haven't even brought up yet that I want to bring up, and we'll continue talking a little bit about this particular game from the Patriots' perspective. Patriots, Jets, who to start, who to sit. Keep sending your emails in, webradio@patriots.com. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Hey, this is Hall of Famer John Hanna here. Let me tell you about the game with the greats. Have you ever wondered what former football players talk about when we're watching a game? Well, now you can find out for yourself at the Game with the Greats on October 5th at Gillette Stadium. Watch the Patriots take on the 49ers in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse, along with me and a bunch of other Patriot alumni. Guys like newly inducted Hall of Famer Andre Tippett and Patriots Hall of Famers Ben Coates, Stanley Morgan, Steve Nelson, and Steve Grogan will be there. Tickets are limited because they're only $40. Visit the Patriots.com homepage and click on Alumni for more information. We're all going to be at the Game with the Greats. Where will you be?
Patriots
Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, Off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and the long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
Dirty Lord down.
And welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. Web radio at Patriots.com is the email address. We want to hear from you. This is a new show we've got going on here on Patriots.com, and I certainly hope as the weeks go on that you will realize this is a show for you. It's not about me. In the open of the show, we joke that I'm the geek. I'm the guru, whatever you want to call me. I can be called a geek. That is fine. I can't really argue. I like to think that fantasy sports doesn't take over my life. It really, really doesn't, but I enjoy it. If you want to call me a geek, that's fine. I don't mind. Dan will do it. Christina does it sometimes. Gary. Won't even have to get into the PFW guys and what they might call me, but that's fine. I feel like this is an outlet for you, football fans and fantasy football fans, to discuss the current topics in the world of fantasy sports and fantasy football. So webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482, if you happen to feel like calling in. We'd certainly love to have you. And like I said, it's a chance to ask your questions about who to start and who to sit. And I have two fantasy football teams, and I'm going through the same issues right now. In one of my teams, where we actually start two quarterbacks, my two quarterbacks were Ben Roethlisberger and Jeff Garcia going in. I wasn't overly thrilled with that going into the season. I figured both could be steady. I knew that Jeff Garcia was a little less steady just because of the situation down there and the Buccaneers wanting to bring in Brett Favre. I figured Ben Roethlisberger over the course of the season was going to be a solid bet. He might not have huge numbers too many weeks, but I feel like his two touchdown, zero interception, 200-yard games will suffice. So obviously I'm out of luck without Jeff Garcia, and I picked up Brian Greasy. I happen to think that Brian Greasy is the best of the bunch in terms of the backup quarterbacks who are starting this week. I want to know if you feel the same way. So in that league where I have two quarterbacks starting, Brian Greasy and Ben Roethlisberger is who I'm going with. They're the two guys I'm going with this week. And then in my other league, I don't have a great quarterback situation either. My starter is Carson Palmer. My backup is David Garrard. They both had negative points for me. How does that happen? How do you have two quarterbacks on your roster and they have negative points? I'm going to stick with Carson Palmer. I don't think I have too much of a choice. I feel like they're going to get their act together, Palmer and the Bengals offense, but I'm kind of worried about that situation. So I want to know what some of your questions are in terms of that. We heard from strippers earlier, one of our top emailers. He's always emailing Patriots.com Radio, and we touched on a few of his questions. Let's touch on two of the others. At tight end, L.J. Smith from Philadelphia, who's playing against Dallas, or Heath Miller of the Pittsburgh Steelers against Cleveland. If I had to pick one or the other, I'm going with Heath Miller. First of all, I think that Ben Roethlisberger, there's a little bit of a health situation there, but I think he's going to be fine. I would take a Pittsburgh offensive player against Cleveland this week. I think it's close between Miller and L.J. Smith, but I would go with Miller. L.J. Smith, I don't think you can necessarily go wrong. If I had to make that call, I'd go Miller. The other one for strippers at wide receiver, Devery Henderson of the New Orleans Saints going against Washington, or Vincent Jackson against Denver. Devery Henderson is a very intriguing guy, as are a few other New Orleans wideouts, because of the Marcus Colston situation. And whereas with some teams, if a top wide receiver goes down and they don't have the quarterback, and he's a guy that the quarterback really relies upon, it would worry me. Drew Brees is going to throw the ball, and someone's going to catch it. I think Devery Henderson is a pretty good pick. Although I think it's a great debate, Henderson versus David Patton, as far as who to pick up. But if it's Henderson or Vincent Jackson this week, I think I would go with Devery Henderson. I really do. So hopefully we're helping you out there. We got another email from Sam from Brighton, who we appreciate sending in some thoughts. Randy Moss was the first wide receiver taken in most drafts. Do you think he will have the most fantasy points of all the wide receivers in the NFL now that Tom is hurt? Will he have the most fantasy points in all of the NFL? I don't know. It'll be tough to keep up what he did last year with or without Tom Brady. I think when all is said and done that Terrell Owens is probably going to overtake him as far as the most fantasy points. But I do think that Randy Moss is still going to have a strong year. You know, he might not have the rapport with Matt Castle that he did with Tom Brady, but he didn't have all that much time practicing with Tom Brady before he had his breakout year last year. He signed with the Patriots, or he was traded to the Patriots at the end of April. He missed virtually all of the preseason training camp, and he still had a monstrous year. Now, Matt Castle, I know, is no Tom Brady. He's not going to throw 23 touchdowns to Randy Moss. I think Randy Moss will still be top five wide receiver, and I think it might be close, but I don't think he's going to be number one. But we appreciate the email there from Sam. A couple of other specific players that I find interesting as far as storylines in fantasy football this week. One of them who I've kind of kept my eye on a little bit is Steve Slayton. And we talked about rookie running backs earlier, and he's certainly not up there in terms of prominence with some of the gentlemen that we've spoken about with Greg Rosenthal. But another very interesting writer as far as fantasy sports, which is the talented Mr. Roto on ESPN.com. Here's what he has to say about Steve Slayton. He had 49 yards Sunday, which doesn't seem like a lot, but he got 16 touches. That is partially due to Amon Green missing almost all of the preseason and being rusty, but the Texans like Slayton, and so do I. Not every defense they face will be as tough as the Steelers, though I don't like him against Baltimore this week either, and I think we can all agree that Amon Green isn't playing 16 games this year. Steve Slayton is a guy who I would love to have on my team for some of those reasons. I don't think Amon Green's playing all 16 games this year, and there might be some matchups, such as against Baltimore, that Steve Slayton wouldn't be a prime pick, but I think Steve Slayton is going to have a great rookie year. Is he going to be a top 15 running back? No. But I think he's going to have a good year, and he's worth having. Here's another one. Pierre Thomas of the Saints. We think about the Saints and running backs. We obviously think about Reggie Bush and then maybe Deuce McAllister. But Pierre Thomas, here's what the talented Mr. Roto had to say. 12 touches for 63 yards on Sunday, and he plays on a team that has an explosive offense and where the inside runner, Deuce McAllister, isn't exactly an Iron Man. So Pierre Thomas is another interesting guy, and our guest Greg Rosenthal has him as the number one waiver wire pickup as far as running backs who are on most waiver wires right now. Pierre Thomas of the Saints, a guy to keep in mind. Hey, Dan. Oh, okay, we're not talking to Dan right now. Oh, Dan's going to come on. Dan's going to come on in. I had a couple questions for Dan because Dan is another guy. Some of you, everyone knows Dan Two Gender, whatever we want to call him. We've heard both, certainly on these airwaves. And Dan, like me, is a fantasy football geek. We'll go geek. I mean, if people are going to call me a geek, I'm going to call Dan a geek. And I like batting around some ideas with Dan and talking with him about his fantasy team and my fantasy team. So, hey, Dan, can we consider you the number two guest, the second guest ever in the fantasy lowdown?
I guess so. Do I get a prize for this?
No, only number one. Only number one. But ironically,
first is the worst, second is the best.
Well, maybe we can look at it that way. I think maybe every other guest is going to get a prize.
Okay.
Sorry, you're out of luck. So, Dan, how did your fantasy team or teams do in week one?
Well, to be honest with you, this was my first time ever doing fantasy football this year. So
right. Well, welcome aboard.
I wasn't quite sure what to expect. I wasn't quite sure what my strategy would be. I am in a fantasy football league with some of the loyal PFW listeners who actually started mini Gary League.
Right,
so,
right.
But as far as the draft, I believe I had the ninth pick out of 13 teams. So I was kind of down there towards the end of the first round and wasn't quite sure who would be available when I got drafted. Actually, who did I take with my first pick? Marion Barber.
Yeah,
Dan Klecko.
Dan Klecko wasn't available, right?
No.
He was taken in the top eight.
I think he was number three. Klecko, yeah.
Yeah, probably. Dan Klecko of the Philadelphia Eagles. He is a fullback now, by the way. He could get a few touches. You never know. A couple
more than probably who did get selected number three.
Hey, you know, that's fine.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. It very much is what it is. But Marion Barber's not a bad guy to have on your team, I'll tell you that much.
I'm a little worried by this injury he's dealing with this week. Not sure if I'm going to start him on Sunday or
Were you able to quote unquote handcuff him? That's a key word in fantasy, and get Felix Jones as well.
I did not get Felix Jones. However, Reggie Bush dropped majorly in the draft, and I was able to get him 9th, 10th round, something like that, and he had a huge game on Sunday.
And I'll tell you what, I'm very high on Reggie Bush. I think especially with Marcus Colston being out, I think Reggie Bush is going to be their top offensive weapon.
Absolutely.
He had 8 catches
yards.
For 112 yards. And, you know, there are definitely some running backs who are pretty good in the passing game. 8 catches for 112 yards is pretty solid.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see him with a lot of touches. Now, we were talking earlier about tight ends, and I brought up Anthony Fasano with Greg Rosenthal of RotoWorld.com, who we had earlier, who is our prize-winning guest. Dan, sorry. He did win the prize. But we mentioned a couple guys, including Dante Rosario, who is with the Panthers, and he obviously had the game-winning
catch.
The catch, and that was one of the greatest endings of a football game.
Unbelievable.
You're going to see in a while, especially when you consider what an upset it was. But it's a good question with him, because you know who knew who Dante Rosario was before this week, and so the question is, how much stock do you take in 1 week when it's a guy who's kind of a no name? And I mentioned Alex Smith, not the Alex Smith who's the quarterback for the or maybe the ex-quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, but the tight end from Tampa Bay, back in, I think it was 2005, his first week, he had 2 touchdown receptions for Tampa Bay as a rookie. And, hey, that's going to jump out at you when anyone has, you know, if LaDainian Tomlinson has two touchdowns in a game, it's going to jump out at you. When it's a guy like Alex Smith, I mean, how many waiver wire pickups were there for Alex Smith that day? The rest of the year, he had 0 touchdowns.
Right.
So you can't read too much into it. But if you're looking for a tight end, there's some interesting, intriguing prospects. Who's your tight end?
Yeah, I took Chris Cooley as my tight end.
So did I.
Which I thought was a great pick.
I still do.
But when Jason Campbell completes his first pass with 3 minutes left in the first half, as he did on Thursday night, I mean, 7 yards,
yeah.
1 catch.
Well, there are definitely some guys who have done more with less than Chris Cooley can do with Jason Campbell. I still think Chris Cooley is going to be a decent option. But there's another tight end who we haven't heard from too much, and it's John Carlson, who is with the Seattle Seahawks out of Notre Dame. And one of the reasons why I think he's going to have he's an interesting guy, at least in the short term, is because of the wide receiver situation with Seattle. If John Carlson can prove to be a reliable target for Matt Hasselbeck, then you know he's going to get the looks. Now, whether you know he's going to be targeted, how many catches he's going to have every week, he's still a young guy, you know, maybe he doesn't put it all together, but I think he's a good guy to have and would not be a bad backup option at tight end. I do also, like you said, I do have Chris Cooley in one of my leagues, and then a tight end in another league. I have Heath Miller and Benjamin Watson.
Mm-hmm.
I feel okay about Heath Miller. Didn't do much for week one, but
no.
I feel pretty good about Heath Miller. Benjamin Watson, man.
What a question mark
because of injuries. When he's out there, I feel good about having him. If he's going to be healthy on a given day, it's sometimes hard to predict the matchups, but I feel good about having
especially him. Especially this year with Castle at the helm. I mean, you would think that maybe they'd go to the tight end a little bit more. Some of those quick passes, Welker. I mean, I think Welker still have a big year, but you would think Benjamin Watson could be a big part of this offense with Matt Castle.
Absolutely. Absolutely, I think so. I want to talk a little bit in these last few minutes that we have here on the first edition of the Fantasy Lowdown about this specific game, Patriots and Jets, because I'd like to keep this I'd like to talk, have a little bit of a Patriots perspective from the fantasy world on the show.
I just want to mention quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
The other day in the locker room, we were talking about Matt Castle.
Boy, you'd like to bring in some behind the scenes stuff.
And
what happens in the locker room, though, Dan? Stays in the locker room, so let's not go too overboard.
I believe your exact words, your exact sentence was, any guy that's thrown a Randy Moss is a guy to have. And you know what I did that night?
You picked up Matt Castle.
Picked up Matt Castle.
Well, I do firmly believe that. I think, put it this way, I think Randy Moss has to prove that he won't do well for me to not think Matt Castle's going to be a good fantasy quarterback. I think you've got to give the benefit of the doubt that Randy Moss is still going to have some big numbers. And what Matt Castle did immediately when he jumped into that game, which is a 51-yard reception to Moss and then a 10-yard touchdown reception, I think that was a great sign that Castle to Moss can be a fantasy duo this year. I really do. And I do feel that way. Now personally, I I picked up Brian Griese in one of my leagues, and I think that Brian Griese is going to have more of an immediate I think he's a little more reliable immediately, and we didn't really know about the Brian Griese situation until I think it was really yesterday or last night that Tampa Bay said for sure that Garcia wouldn't start. And part of my reason for picking up Griese is because I did have Garcia, so that was important to have in case they're going back and forth. I still have both,
right.
But yeah, that's okay. What happens in the locker room stays in the locker room, except for that one line. Because I'm happy you brought that up. I do feel that way. But as far as this weekend, if I have Castle, I might not rely on him, but if I'm in a bind, I'd start him. I'd certainly start Randy Moss. I'd certainly start Wes Welker.
Well, that brings up my question to you. I got Carson Palmer and David Garrard as my other two QBs.
Yeah.
So I'm in a little bit of a bind here.
Yeah. Well, like I said about Carson Palmer, I think in the long run, I'm not too worried. I still think he's going to do okay. He's got certainly a head case as his number one wide receiver there.
But they are playing the Titans this week.
They are playing the Titans this week.
One of the best defenses.
The Titans have one of the best defenses in the NFL. There's no doubt about that, as David Garrard found out last week. Garrard and the Jaguars are playing against Buffalo. Another tough matchup, another pretty good defense. And we saw what Buffalo did against Seattle. That's, in my opinion, when you've got two options like that, go with the guy who, in general, you'd say is more reliable, and that would have to be Carson Palmer, even though they're going up against such a good defense. And if I take a look here at what Greg Rosenthal had in his rankings right now, he still has Carson Palmer as a top 10 guy. He has him 10th. And the note that he put was, it has to get better, .. right? Mm. And meanwhile, you would think. And meanwhile, David Garrard is just behind him at 12 overall. But I would say it's that way. I would say it's pretty close. But I'd rely a little more on Carson Palmer than I would on David Garrard. With this Patriots-Jets game, let's look also just quickly at the Jets. What do we make of Brett Favre as a fantasy quarterback? Obviously, you got to say he's up there in the top maybe not top first tier, but top 10 or so. The only thing is he might end up throwing, or good chance he throws, as many interceptions as touchdowns. He had two pretty long touchdown passes against Miami, and that's the thing. He's going to throw it up there. It's a high-risk, high-reward sort of situation.
Absolutely. I mean, you could see Favre going out there, throwing four touchdowns, 300 yards, but at the same time, you can see him going out there and having three picks and maybe 150 yards and just having a miserable game. So
right.
There's no,
right.
Especially he's not up to speed 100% yet with that Jets team. He's still going to feel, I'm sure, the Patriots are going to put a lot of pressure on him. He's not the young Brett Favre anymore. They're going to try to get to him as fast as they can. So there's no telling really what he's going to do out there.
Yeah, and their running back, Thomas Jones, is not a guy that I would like this week. I think the Patriots typically are pretty strong in run defense when they play the Jets. They did a pretty good job last week against Kansas City. And I would say that you're better options if you have guys on the Jets from an offensive fantasy perspective, that the wideouts and the quarterback would be a better option than the running back. The great thing about it is that there's new storylines every week, and who would have thought from a NFL perspective and a fantasy perspective that we'd be talking about the merits of Matt Castle as a fantasy quarterback as a week ago at this time.
When I did my draft on Yahoo.com, Matt Castle was the second to last lowest ranked player, not just quarterback.
Was Matt Gutierrez right behind him?
Matt Gutierrez was the last player.
Is that right?
And Castle was just above him. I mean, it just shows you what injury can do and just change the face of everything.
Oh, and here we do have the Patriots' participation and injury report, which, hey, from a fantasy perspective, that is huge. And there was a little bit of, questions were raised yesterday when Randy Moss and Jabbar Gaffney were not out there during the media portion of practice and listed as limited participation in practice. Well, that hasn't changed. They both have limited participation in practice. However, during the media portion today, they were both out there. And one thing that I noticed was Randy Moss chatting a little bit with Matt Castle during stretching. They're trying to get on the same page, and hopefully no broken arms or anything like that. But in case you were wondering, Benjamin Watson, and I am wondering because, I have Watson on one of my teams, continues to miss practice with his knee injury. Injury news always pertinent when it comes to fantasy. We're nearing the end of the first edition of the Fantasy Lowdown. We will be here every week from 4 to 5 p.m. on Patriots.com radio. And as I said at the beginning, I'm very excited about this because this isn't about about us on this side of the on this side of the radio. It's about you, fantasy football players who are in New England or around the country. We want you to have an outlet, a place where you can voice your questions, voice your concerns, or merely vent. If Tom Brady was your first pick in your draft and you're bummed out, send me an email. Call me up. We can talk about it. Webradio at patriots.com or 508-543-7482. We thank Greg Rosenthal from rotoworld.com, who joined us and had some really great insight. And he's a Massachusetts resident and a guy who follows this stuff closely. So we hope to have him on again as the year goes on. And, of course, we'll have Dan Tugender helping us out a little bit here as well. It's my pleasure. Thanks for your help, and thanks for the emails that we did get. Be sure to check out Patriots Today every day, but also on Thursdays I'll have some quick hit fantasy thoughts, and the fine folks at Patriots Football Weekly have for some reason allowed me to write a monthly fantasy column. The fantasy lowdown, Gary, is just simply taken over around here. So thanks once again to Greg Rosenthal. Thanks for listening in. We'll see you next week on the Fantasy Lowdown.
Make sure you tell your friends you heard it on
Fantasy Lowdown.